Llegaron los Propane Days a Lowe's. Desde ahora hasta el 16 de junio, los miembros MVPs de Lowe's reciben un 20% de reembolso en pintura con una tarjeta de regalo electrónica de Lowe's por compras de pinturas elegibles de $100 o más. Lleva la nueva y exclusiva pintura HGTV Home de Sherwin-Williams SpecRite para interiores. Lowe's sabe de pros. Aplican exclusiones, restricciones y más términos. Visita Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Sujeto a cambios.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers, and there's a lot of things they got to lock down to make sure that this is not the game when they drop to a losing record, as they're 5-8 with four games to go in the season. I'm Chris Carter. We'll be here with Brian Batko. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, breaking down all things Steelers before this matchup this weekend. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. We're the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and this is our Monday, Wednesday, Friday show. And it's the Friday episode getting you ready for the weekend as the Steelers get ready to take on the Panthers. Today's episode is brought to you, as always, by the Acrisure Fan Advantage and the power to project one of our Post-Gazette Steelers beat writers into your home or office using augmented reality. You can get an exclusive pregame breakdown from a Steelers expert standing right in your living room. Get the latest insights on starting lineups, key matchups, and critical stats at post-gazette.com/Acrisure Fan Advantage. No apps or downloads, just insider access to Steelers updates at post-gazette.com/Acrisure Fan Advantage and get a real edge on this week's action. As long as you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and especially on YouTube, like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our Post-Gazette content. Brian is in a car outside the Steelers training facility out there, braving the cold. How you doing, man?
I cannot tell you what is going on in that building. But yeah, excuse the glare. We had some technical difficulties today, so I had to hop in my car. And luckily, Chris, it's not that cold out right now on the south side. So I'm not freezing my butt off in here. It's actually quite comfortable.
Okay, well, that's good. Glad you're comfy, because we're about to do some real Steelers talk. But let's get into some things here. So the offense is, of course, going to be a big talking point this week. We've seen videos of Kenny Pickett kind of practicing. There's a chance that he might come back. Is there a chance that he might come back? Let's get into that, Brian. You think, is that a lockdown, or is he still out there maybe playing?
I don't think he's going to play, Chris. I mean, this isn't Ben Roethlisberger, where you could miss the whole week on the COVID list and then suit up on Sunday or not practice because of a concussion and then suit up. I think even if Kenny Pickett gets cleared, that's a good thing overall. That's a good sign for his recovery from that scary hit by Roquan Smith. But the logistics of it, you know, he hasn't been working with the first team because it's been up in the air. So, no, I don't think he's going to be under center. It's just a question of, is it 2 or is it 10? And that's what we all want to know. I don't know when we're going to have clarity on that, but it's certainly intriguing.
We've certainly seen questions about that. Mason Rudolph talking about, like, he called himself 2A of the quarterbacks this week and how he felt.
Tomlin was calling him 2A. Rudolph was the one who was like, if I were 2A, would I have gotten a helmet one of these first 13 games? So, but here's the thing, though. Like, I kind of went into the week thinking that it's going to be Mitch Trubisky. It just seems like a Mike Tomlin thing to do, to kind of go back to the guy that you believed in from the start. But I don't know now. Now I'm a little bit more 50-50. Based on some things we've heard and seen, especially Rudolph, too, being so open about this whole thing. I feel like he really believes he's got a shot.
That's a big question. And everyone's wondering in this town, what's it going to be at the quarterback position? You know, Mitch Trubisky threw 3 interceptions last game. Mason Rudolph, you know, has it really gotten a chance to work with the first team all year? Sorry, what'd you say?
Mason Rudolph has not thrown an interception this season.
This is true. He's not throwing a single interception, and that is absolutely something that he has on record right now in his favor. Is that the big factor here, though, that Mike Tomlin should be weighing, is just turning the ball over versus not turning the ball over?
It could be. I mean, we know he hates turnovers. You go back to the last time they were kind of in a spot like this in 2019, where the unquestioned starter was down and he was kind of playing musical chairs with the backups. You know, what was the biggest quote we all remember from him when he was talking about Devlin Hodges? It was, he didn't kill us. So I think the formula that Tomlin has in his mind for this team is ball control offense. Don't mess over our defense with mistakes. Then again, you know, I think he also was encouraged by Mitch Trubisky being aggressive. You know, I think what got him benched in week four, it wasn't necessarily, you know, a turnover streak. It was more of just being stuck in a rut on offense. So at least for better or worse, took some shots against the Ravens. So I could see it going either way for that reason. But, you know, I just think that regardless of whether it's Trubisky or whether it's Rudolph, you can't ask a whole lot of either guy, being that Kenny Pickett has been the starter for 2 months. I think if you're the Steelers offense, specifically the O-line, specifically Najee Harris, you got to put your big boy pants on and fight fire with fire here against Carolina.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. How do they do that in this game? Because the Panthers, as a defense, they're kind of up and down at times. Against the run, they've given up the 24th most yards in the league, 21st yards per attempt. So they haven't been too stout against the run. They have been better against the pass, though. Is that really the sign? Is just that this game is going to come down to Najee Harris, the Steelers offensive line, getting the job done so that whoever quarterbacks doesn't have to win the game?
I think so, because I think, you know, whether you're putting in Trubisky, who, I mean, yeah, he got some action last week, but I think it could still be a little bit disjointed just because he hasn't played much lately, and let alone Rudolph, who hasn't played since the preseason. Like I said, I think the passing game in a vacuum, you'd have to be concerned. And certainly when you factor in the Panthers secondary, I mean, Jeremy Chinn is a ball hawking safety. Both corners are playing really well. JC Horn and CJ Henderson, big time first round picks for a reason. Henderson on his second team, but he has the athletic traits. So yes, I think both of those guys can match up favorably with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. So all of that said, Chris, I think if you're Mason Cole, James Daniels, Kevin Dotson, Dan Moore, Chukwuma Okorafor, embrace this opportunity of December football to just say, we're going to line up across from you. We're going to beat our guy, and we're going to make holes for Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, or whoever else gets the touches. You know, that's got to be your recipe for this one. Win a slugfest, because we know that's what the Panthers are going to do offensively. I think you need to meet them where they're at and do what they do better than they do it.
I'm right with you on that. This is sounding like an old school drag them out football game, smash mouth. Neither team has a quarterback that right now that they feel too confident in to just launch the ball and throw a bunch of passes. Both teams looking like they're going to be trying to run the ball. Chuba Hubbard for the Panthers, Najee Harris for the Steelers, of course. But I'm right with you. I think that this comes down to, don't put too much on whoever is quarterback. Even if Kenny Pickett does return, this guy's coming off an injury. You want to make sure that he doesn't have too much on his plate after, like you said, a week of kind of just running the partial practices and taking it easy. And if it is Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph, we saw last week what happened when you asked Mitch Trubisky to throw it a little too much. And you want them to be aggressive. Like when they call play action and they have the deep option, take the shot. Just don't ask them to have to do it too much to win you the football game. You got to win it up front. And especially on the other side of the ball, they're going to have to win up front. We're going to talk about that, because the Steelers' run defense has been an issue, especially the past few weeks. They've been able to mitigate it up until last week when they lost to the Ravens. We'll talk about that again in just a little bit here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, we're going to talk to you guys about Valley Pool and Spa. Wouldn't it be nice if the holidays were stress-free? A hot tub or a swim spa or a sauna from Valley Pool and Spa will help you feel like it is. You can relax and soak in a hot tub or a swim spa from Valley Pool and Spa before the snow flies. Refresh and rejuvenate in a Finlayo sauna that'll sure to melt your stress away faster than a frosty in Aruba. Save big now on in-stock hot tubs, swim spas, and saunas by visiting valleypoolspa.com. That's valleypoolspa.com.
J. Llegaron los Propane Days a Lowe's. Desde ahora hasta el 16 de junio, los miembros MVPs de Lowe's reciben un 20% de reembolso en pintura con una tarjeta de regalo electrónica de Lowe's por compras de pinturas elegibles de $100 o más. Lleva la nueva y exclusiva pintura HGTV Home de Sherwin-Williams SpecRite para interiores. Lowe's sabe de pros. Aplican exclusiones, restricciones y más términos. Visita Lowe's.com/L/Pro Loyalty Terms. Sujeto a cambios.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. We're of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's switch the side of what we're talking about with the Steelers to the defense. Now, in the last three games, the Steelers defense allowed 110 yards rushing to the Colts, 146 yards rushing to the Falcons, and then 215 yards rushing to the Ravens.
And it was really the Ravens for the kneel downs, if you really want to be a stickler.
Wait, what did you say?
It was 220 before the kneel downs against Baltimore. If you really want to be a stickler.
Totally. But I think anytime you let up over 200, that's like the okay, we messed up today. And yes, the Ravens
worth of rushing yards, yeah.
Right, exactly. But the Ravens are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. That's been their focus. It's been their bread and butter. Granted, they had a third string quarterback at the end of the game. They still couldn't stop them when they knew they were running. And I think that's the biggest concern here, because this Panthers team, they're not an elite running team. They're decent. They rank 13th in yards in rushing yards right now as an offense, 15th in yards per attempt. And they have the Arby's package where they say they have the meats. They bring out an extra lineman, three tight ends, and a running back, and they say, hey, we're bringing it. We're just committing to the run. And I guess the concern is Brian, can the Steelers find a way to say, hey, let's hunker down against this team and say, you know what, Sam Darnold, if you're going to beat us with your arm, you're gonna beat us with your arm, but you guys are not running the ball and making this an easy push us down the field type of situation. Is that a stand the Steelers can make this week?
I think they can, but the thing about playing the Panthers right now and the identity that they've found with all those factors that you just so clearly laid out there, Chris, is that they're going to keep at it. You know, they're going to keep hammering away at that. It's not going to be easy to get them out of that mode. In an ideal world, sure, you can get an early lead on them and force them to play from behind and maybe have to make Sam Darnold throw the ball a little bit more. But if you don't, they'll keep running Deontay Foreman at you. They'll change the pace with Chuba Hubbard. They'll you know, maybe take an occasional shot to a DJ Moore. But I think it is going to be a situation where the Steelers, you know, they know they're going to be ready for it. They've been preaching physicality and technique all week. I mean, if there's ever a time to kind of bounce back and, you know, brace for the run, it's after getting embarrassed the way they were against the Ravens. But that's easier said than done. You know, the Panthers are built for this. They want to hit you in the mouth, and it's probably hard to prepare for too. I mean, it's one of those deals where, yeah, you can see it on film. You can try to cook up some X's and O's to counter it, but you know, it's week 15 in the NFL. You're not going to be practicing all out, you know, meeting guys in the gap and getting real lively with it. So that's just something that you're going to have to buckle your chin strap on Sunday for. I think the Steelers will have a chance to stay in the game. I don't think they'll get completely decimated. I also think there's a chance that maybe a Robert Spillane resurfaces here. Miles Jack's been really banged up at the inside linebacker spot. And if I'm Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, quite frankly, I'm telling Devin Bush and Miles Jack, like, if this guy's willing to get in there and stick his nose in the pile and get off some blocks and hit people, he's going to play more snaps and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is you need physicality and you need guys willing to establish that physicality on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Cam Hayward talked about it after the game. Terrell Austin talked about it after practice on Thursday. But the Steelers, they have to be able to get off blocks. They have to be willing to take on guys and be physical at the point of attack. And you know what? Yeah, there's certainly some concerns. But, you know, as far as like, you know, the passing game and needing to worry about that down the line, you know, when they face more passing teams. But these are the games that the Steelers are supposed to win Right now, they invested in Larry Ogunjobi. They invested in Miles Jack. They went and got those guys. You know, they've got the Marvin Leal back. They need guys to be able to hold up. And I also think it's not just the starters. It is the rotational guys. They need Isaiah Loudermilk to step up and be a force against the run. They need the Marvin Leal to be a force against the run. You know, they went and got Jonathan Marshall. You know, does he factor into this at all? But they need all the depth guys to come in and be able to replenish and not lose too much of a step. Because I always think, when people say, well, next man up, it's not as easy as just like, oh, yeah, just ask the third string guy to be as good as the first string guy. But it is a sense of like, hey, know your assignment. Make sure that you're not getting crushed and that if you need help, you're at least, like, if you're getting double teamed, you're at least holding the double team there for so that someone else can make the play. That's where the Steelers have to be able to find in this game is guys who step up on the depth chart, on the lower parts of the defense. And I think that's been something that they haven't gotten enough of, especially up front all season long.
Yeah, and the last point I'll make on that front, Chris, is, I know that some of the diehards have been asking about Mark Robinson all season, you know, seventh-round pick who really flashed at times in the preseason. I don't necessarily think he's going to all of a sudden be heavily involved in this game at linebacker, but it does kind of remind me of right around this time last season when they gave up three straight games, combined 500 some rushing yards against their opponents. I think it was Minnesota. All of a sudden, Mike Tomlin went to Buddy Johnson. He dusted him off on the sideline. And after the game, when he was asked that, now it didn't really work out. You know, Buddy Johnson's no longer even in Pittsburgh. He didn't even make the team and he didn't become a force at the end of last season. But the logic from Mike Tomlin at the time when he was asked about it was, we need, thumpers, basically. We need somebody who's willing to go out there and strike ball carries because he was sick and tired of watching Dalvin Cook run through ginormous holes. So I think that, if you get into a situation again where the Panthers are just running it down your throat, then maybe he would take a kind of similar tack, even though Terrell Austin was very quotable Thursday by saying that when asked about playing young players, he's in the business of winning games, not to see who's going to move up from JV to varsity in 2023.
Yeah, I agree. They need guys, and this is the time of the year where, like, you know, the Steelers, they're out of the playoff race. They're right now. They are. This year is about trying to find guys who you can depend upon next year. And I think this might be time. And I know the Steelers want to win games still. They don't believe in tanking. They don't believe in just losing and just throwing games around. But I do think this is a time where you have the space to figure out what do some of these younger guys have? What can they bring and can you rely upon them more? And can they be part of your future plans? Because, you know, if you're not showing up in the toughest moments, you know, I think these are the times when if you're a younger player, you need to be showing up early for practice. You need to be coming in and doing the extra work and showing, hey, like, even though this season has gone awry and we have not, been the team that we thought we could be, I'm still here trying to get better, and I want to be part of when we do get better. And then when you find those guys, when you do develop, when you do get the draft picks that help set up your future, when you do have a better start to the season and you're not missing your defensive MVP and everything's clicking for you, then you know, hey, we remember that guy that was third string last year that was like, Isaiah Loudermilk, or even Jonathan Marshall or DeMarvin Leal. You remember those guys last year that they could have quit. They could have kind of just mailed in the last few weeks because it didn't matter at that point, but they didn't. They showed up, they worked, and it helped get a couple wins at the end of the season that made us a little bit better of a team at then. And they're going to be part of helping making us a better team for the near future.
Yeah, and I think Mike Tomlin talked about that. I don't know if it was this Tuesday or the Tuesday before. It was basically like it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing, right? Like growth of young players can lead to winning, but not going to sacrifice winning for the growth of young players. So, there's not a ton of guys right now who are kind of nipping at the heels of the regulars. And, this isn't minor, this isn't Major League Baseball where you go to your minors in September and expand to 40-man rosters. I don't think the Steelers are going to be emptying the practice squad for the last 4 weeks, even if they lose in Charlotte and are completely eliminated. But, yeah, I mean, I'd say, you don't need to see so much anymore from Tyson Alualu. Even a guy like Cam Hayward, you can probably scale back the snaps. Inside linebacker, you've got a whole host of things you still need to figure out with that position group. I wrote about them yesterday and how not only have the splash plays not been there, but reared its ugly head against the Ravens that nobody was whipping their man and making a play in the gap. So Just a mess at that spot. And that's why I kind of said at the start of this segment that maybe a Robert Spillane, who's been a whipping boy at times for fans in Pittsburgh, maybe he gets a chance to at least, show that he's playing with a motor and can kind of work sideline to sideline and hit some people.
I hear you on that. We'll get into whether or not that will happen in this game in our predictions in just a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Yinzers in the Burg. Yinzers, listen up. The Steelers campaign maybe a hit in the end here. But if you want to find merchandise for your favorite Steelers players, the best place to do that is at Yinzers in the Burg. It's not just the Steelers. They have Pirates. They have Penguins. They have Pitt. They have everything Pittsburgh sports gear is at Yinzers in the Burg. And where can you find Yinzers in the Burg? Well, you can find him in the two legendary stores in the Strip District, or you can go online to yinzerspgh.com. And at yinzerspgh.com, you can find all the different Pittsburgh sports apparel, accessories, and so much more. It's team gear. It's player gear. It's a whole bunch of stuff that you can find that's going to bring out the Steelers fan in you. Or if you want to get a perfect gift for somebody with the holidays, that's where the yinzerspgh.com can really come in. So go to yinzerspgh.com or visit Yinzers in the Burg in the Strip District. Get all your Pittsburgh sports apparel. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. Let's talk about these matchups here finally, Brian. Is there an advantage the Steelers could try to claim in this game that you think could actually help turn the tide in their way? Or is this a bad matchup at the wrong time of the season for them right now?
I lean toward tough matchup at a bad time of the season for them. And not necessarily because I think the Panthers have some decisive edge over them. I mean, they're a 5-8 team that fired their head coach early in the season. You know, it's not like they are a really formidable group. But they're playing well lately. They're playing with energy. They've got something to play for with the NFC South being a dumpster fire. Whereas the Steelers, naturally, I think you're a little dejected after that game against the Ravens where you were on a two-game win streak. And then all of a sudden, your biggest rival comes into town and kind of knocks you out of it. So I think they're pretty evenly matched on paper. But the intangibles of momentum, Panthers playing with confidence, kind of makes me think that they're just going to have a little bit more to them in this game and what should be, as we talked about the last segment, you know, a physical one for both sides.
The Panthers are 3-1 in their last four games. Also had a bye week just 2 weeks ago. They had a big upset, maybe their best upset of the season, by beating the Seahawks last week 30-24. And I think that's where it comes down to. Can the Steelers stop that momentum? Can they turn things around? It's been a rough go at it. It looked like the Steelers were the team that were picking up steam until last week, until they had their game against the Ravens. Brian, sounds like you're picking the Panthers.
Yes. I was going to say, I'll make it fairly quick. I think, and then I'll get out of my stuffy car. But, I think the Panthers are just going to, I think they're going to want it a little bit more in this one. A lot of the times in December football with two teams who aren't where they want to be record-wise, that can kind of be the deciding factor. I don't know if the Steelers are going to come out of this week of practice feeling rejuvenated and we can't get humiliated again, or if they're going to come out of it with a kind of woe is me attitude, season's gone. So, regardless though, I've got the Panthers 20, Steelers 13. I just don't think they finish enough drives in the red zone. And I think the Panthers run the ball well enough, get a couple field goals to keep this one at bay. So I think it's going to be pretty low scoring, but I've got the Steelers falling to 5-9 in Charlotte.
I hear you that. What is your low scoring score here?
We talked 29-6. Carolina.
Oh, I missed it. Okay, sorry. I think I went out there.
At low scoring, but I think it's under the, I think the Vegas under would hit with my prediction here.
What is the Vegas under right now?
I want to say last I saw was 37 or 37 and a half.
37. My goodness. Yeah, I'm taking the under there. I'm going 17-13. I do think the Steelers find a way to win this one, specifically because I think as inconsistent as the Steelers have been, the Panthers have also been inconsistent. I think they've picked up a little bit of steam, but I also think, like, whenever I look at bad teams, kind of like the Steelers last week, if you had told me that Kenny Pickett wasn't starting, I wouldn't have picked the Steelers last week. And I would have been like, Like that Ravens team, even with Huntley and eventually Wright at quarterback, they have a lot more assets going for them. The Steelers needed to beat that team. They needed to not turn the ball over and play at their pace. I do think the Steelers this week, you know, if they go into a game with a plan, with a particular quarterback in mind, they find a way to protect the football better in this game. And if the Steelers' run defense can at least commit to it and stop it, and I don't think the Panthers are as good. They do have Ikemekwunyu at left tackle. I think he's going to be a really special player. But I don't see the Panthers as being as good as the Ravens up front, and that's just what gives the Steelers a little bit of an edge in this game. But I don't blame anybody for picking the Panthers in this one. They've been playing better football than the Steelers the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the quarterback position for the Steelers. I don't know how you can't be after the play of Mitch Trubisky last week, and you know Mason Rudolph is Mason Rudolph. So we'll see what happens, but maybe they can lean on Najee Harris and grind one out here.
Absolutely. We'll be talking more about that when everyone gets back. Ray Fittipaldo will be on hand there for the Carolina Panthers game. We'll be seeing all that. Brian, thanks so much for joining me here on the North Shore Drive podcast. You can find this show Monday, Wednesday, Friday on the YouTube channel from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can also find all daily content coming out from this YouTube channel. Like this video, subscribe to all our videos to get all of our Post-Gazette content. Thanks again to Brian. Thanks again to you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back after the Steelers-Panthers game, breaking everything down right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down below in the description.